Okay, let there be light. So let's move on. I want to do, if we can tonight, basically two topics, all relating to the completion or the end of the first day and the creation of light. There's so much. Just to let you know, things where there's a lot of discussion, but I'm not sure why, but I just chose anyway to skip. Just if you look at Pasuk Beis, the whole issue of what does it mean Tohu Vavohu? The world was emptiness or nothingness. What does it mean B'choshech Al Pnei Tahom? What is the darkness that was there? And most intriguingly, what does it mean Ruach Elokim Rachefes Al Pnei Amayim, that there was the Spirit of God hovering? And most perhaps intriguingly, what is that water doing there if nothing's been created yet? What is that water? So lots and lots of stuff going on there. You know, as I said, we won't be able to do everything. It's impossible. As it is, we'll have our fourth shiur on the first four psukim, so it's not like we're going fast. But for the sake of getting a little bit traction, we're skipping that. But I do want to focus tonight on psukim Gimel and Dalet. Let's start with Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Elohim Yihor Vayihi Or. God said, one of the most famous psukim in the Torah, let there be light. And there was light. So, you'll remember that a few weeks ago we mentioned, it's a very famous Mishnah in Perkei Avos, that the world was created by Asara Ma'amaros. The world was created with 10 utterances. Now, without getting back to that Mishnah, but already we see, and we know that there's a pattern that will develop, it's true, all of God's creative acts are Vayomer, and God said. The question is, what does that mean? God doesn't talk. If he could talk, who would he be talking to? There was nobody there. How do you create something just by talking? It's a very strange choice of words. What exactly, to the extent that we can understand, which is certainly not going to be complete, what does it mean, Vayomer Elohim Yior? What does that mean? So there are two basic schools of thought in the Rishonim. If you look at your first source, you have the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra first begins by quoting an earlier source. Vayomer Amar HaGaon. The Gaon here is referred to as Rav Sadja Gaon, the famous philosopher. Ki Perush, what does it mean to say Vayomer? He spoke. Vayomer Kamo Vayirtse. Vayomer is a term that is used to express God's will. He willed there to be light. What does it mean he spoke? He didn't speak. He willed. God desired there should be light. I don't know if anyone could read the next phrase and tell me, why does Ibn Ezra reject it? I spent literally 30 minutes today looking at this one sentence. I still don't know. I'm not sure what he means. If that would be the case, Hayaroi Lios Or. I don't know. I mean, we can all translate those words. They're easy words. But I don't know what he's trying to get at. Anyone, in 1 second or less, does anybody know what he means? I don't know. I admit it. I just don't know. What's the question? I didn't see. Not that I saw. Okay, that will be homework, Yemir Hashem, for next week. So what does Ibn Ezra say, rather? Raku kimashmo. No, don't think of it as figuratively. It means literally. God spoke. Now what does that mean to say God spoke? Ibn Ezra is saying, no, he spoke. He meant it. Literally, he spoke. It's hard for us to comprehend. As Ibn Ezra says, that's what the Torah means to convey. After all, we have supportive psukim. The verse in Tehillim says, "Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu." With the utterance of God, heaven was created. Furthermore, later in Tehillim, "Kihu Tziva V'Nivru." He commanded, which is obviously another verbal utterance, and then there was creation. So it says Ibn Ezra. We have two other sources in Tanakh, both in Tehillim. Should be enough sheets. I don't think there's 40 people there, and I made 40 source sheets. So, yeah, please. Everyone should have a sheet. You will not be able to follow without a sheet. The Ibn Ezra says one final thing, which he tries to add a little bit more meaning, but I want to hold off on that for a moment. Right now, you basically see two debates, two positions in Ibn Ezra. Does Vayomer, God said, let there be light. So, right, if the Rabbeinu Sajigon was going to look for a marketing tool and look for one market which was yet untapped, he could make a competing t-shirt. You know, you've seen those t-shirts. God, let there be light, equals EFC squared or whatever. They sell these t-shirts like on Ben Yehuda Street and stuff. Anyway, so Rabbeinu Sajigon would say, not in God said, but in God willed that there should be light. Ibn Ezra says, no, God said, Kimashmo, God spoke. That's two opinions. Yes.
Unless he's implying that it's simply a matter of ruptured, maybe someone, I mean, looking at it literally,
yeah,
shot, there would have been light there.
Maybe that's what he's driving at. Good. It would already have existed.
Yeah, it would have existed.
Good. Okay. Could very well be. Yeah. Could very well be. Again, it's just these topics, as much time as I'm spending on them, as much time as we're spending on it together, you know, as I said at the beginning, it's like so, it's so profound, it's so deep, it's so metaphysical. I mean, there's only the most brilliant person, which I'm not, but the most brilliant person, there's a limit to the amount that we can grasp. It doesn't mean it's not worth studying, but I think you may be right. I just don't even know if I can really know what that means. Similarly, although slightly different, to the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban also quotes two approaches. The first thing the Ramban says, Milas Amira Bakan Lahoros Alha Chefetz. That's the same as Rabbeinu Sadragon. It is a desire, it is a will, Ratzon, Chefetz, it's the same thing. And he quotes a pasuk from Shmuel Aleph, where also you have a notion, Matomar Nashech Be'es Alach. I will do, what does that mean, Matomar Nashech? Again, it means what do you want? Not what does your soul say? It means what would you want? That's an example where you see the word amira, that root, can mean want. Oh, however, he suggests a second approach. Kigon machshava, a thought. Now, I first, when I read this quickly, I didn't think there was much of a difference. But if you continue, you realize what he means, and this is really a second opinion. After he quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya, he then says, "Hava inyan lomar," this notion, what is accomplished, what's the advantage or the difference of this second approach? Shelo haya ba'omel. First of all, he says it was effortless, which is something I want to get back to. And then he says, what's the main point for this now? V'hu laharos is to tell us, al diber mechushav. It was enunciated words, clear words. It wasn't mumbling. My mother, my family, we tend to speak very quickly. If you think I speak quickly, you've never heard my sisters. We speak loudly, we speak quickly. This is part of our genetic traits. So we're constantly being told, I have memories of childhood, don't mumble, don't mumble, don't mumble. So that's what the Ramban says, don't worry, the Bar Shalom did not start by mumbling. He was a good public speaker, he didn't mumble. He said it, enunciated. Sheyesh bo tam, and there was meaning to it, it was intelligible. Lo chepetz, or chepetz, pashut bilvad. It wasn't just a simple desire, which was, it's like, and I, again, to the extent that I can understand it, the way I think he's trying to drive it, you have, let's say, take like an artist. And an artist has moments of inspiration, whether it's a singing artist, literally an artist, they have inspiration. You can't necessarily articulate the moment. You have an epiphany when you're an artist, you know. That's like the first approach. That's what he's saying, is if you think it was just his will, so then it was like a spark of light, somehow, like a flash. But this second approach, which he's calling Mashava, which seems to correspond to what the Ibn Ezra said was more enunciation, again, what is being driven at, says the Ramban, in that second approach is, no, it wasn't more like the artist, it was more like the mathematician or the scientist. It was much more beseder, it was much more defined.
Why are we discounting the fact that he's speaking the language of man?
I think the answer is, the question is, but what does God mean to say in that? There's other language he could have used, right? He could have said, machshava, could have used the Lashon of chafetz. There's other languages.
None of which he has, as we understand it anyway. I mean, it's only talking in language.
Right, so again, the question is, to the extent, I think you're right, that has to be predicated. But to the extent that this is used, what is it trying to express? That's how I would formulate it. But I think it's...
And therefore,
what's the alternative?
That's the way he's talking about Zavar Mechusha, which is...
You mean important?
Well, yeah. Right.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they mean...
Because he says he contrasts...
I understand.
It's a Zavar. In other words, the Chafetz and the Zavar are synonymous.
No, I think they're contrasted.
Well, whatever it is.
I think, no, but that's the point. Chepes is just a will. Chepes is just a will, and I think this is something... He means ratzon. He doesn't mean chepes as in chepsagavra. He means l'chafes, to desire. That's it. That's how I read the Ramban.
Yeah, that's what people...
Okay, it's not an easy Ramban to read. There's no doubt... No doubt about it. One of the sources that is quoted, like if you look in the Ramban and others, some of the more recent editions, they quote in the footnotes, I saw this citation of the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. The Amud Rebukim, this is getting back to what Jean was referring to, and again, we've all been struggling with, what does that mean to say God spoke in any form? So the Rambam has a whole parak in the Amud Rebukim, where he discusses this, chapter 65. Well, that's it right here. Chelek Aleph, parak Samachay. And he says, Kol Amira V'dibor, any one of those forms or words, Shinemru, Miuchasim LaHashem Heim. They are equivocal. Meaning, depending on the context, they may mean something else. Because obviously we're not meant to take them literally. Depending on the context, it means different things. So, for example, the Ramban, the Rambam goes through different places in the Tanakh where one of those words is used, and he shows that it means different things. He then says, like, the second or the third thing he says is, or it also could be a kinoi l'ratzon v'lhemetz. It's another way of expressing his desire or his will. Or kinoi al ha'inyan hamuvan me'eis Hashem. Or in some other contexts, this is the closest thing to literally speaking. It refers to when God is communicating with another with a human being. Bein shenoda b'kol, whether it's like kind of a bas kol, or shenoda b'derech midarchei hanavua, or is it what we call prophecy? In one way or another, it's expressing God's ability to communicate. So the Rambam here does not mention our pasuk. But again, in light of his general understanding of what the words Amira or Dibor mean when referred to God, so the first thing he says clearly corresponds to one approach we saw in the Rishonim. The second approach, where he speaks about it being communicative, so on the one hand, it sounds like that's what the Ibn Ezra is trying to drive at. It may be that's what the second opinion in the Ramban is trying to drive at. The one big problem with that, a little bit, is the comment that the Chizkuni makes next. What does Chizkuni make? I alluded to this before. Vayomer Elokim. So the Chizkuni doesn't translate what Vayomer means, but it sounds like he is taking it in a certain sense. Elibo umachshavto omer. God, who is he speaking to? Himself. Shari ba'osos man ein balechayim. Raka kadosh baruch hu levado. There was no one else to talk to. Who was God talking to? Even the Baruch Shalom got lonely. God was talking. You leave a person alone long enough, they'll start talking to themselves. God is speaking to himself. Now, it could mean, again, if you put it all together, on some level, we're suggesting that God spoke, whatever that means, to himself. Now, you tell me what that means. That is a riddle wrapped in a mystery combined with a conundrum. I don't know what that means. But he spoke to himself. But that, Chazal said he was talking to the angels. We'll get to that, in Mirz Hashem, in future weeks. But we all know that famous Chazal, that Nasa, God was talking to the angels. God, we will make man. Who's the we? The royal we. Wow, I don't know that. That was Wow, okay. There's a lot to talk about there. There's a lot to talk about that now. So we'll get to that. We're not up to Adam yet. Right now we're just with the light. Now, I want to mention one other thing. Again, just as this opening, I feel rushed. I don't know if you feel that way, but as I told you, I unfortunately have no choice. One other thing, which is really, I guess, the main thing that we can get out of it in a meaningful sense. I hope the first part here was not meaningless, but again, it's somewhat abstract and there's only so much we're going to come to full comprehension of this. Bottom line, what can we take away from this? What is the Torah trying to communicate by using this phrase? He talked, he thought, he willed, talked to himself, talked to... So this is really alluded to, I briefly mentioned it in the Rambam, but let's go back even to the first source, the Ibn Ezra again. Ibn Ezra, even though he quotes both opinions, and he says, I'm talking, it means literally. Well, look at the last line of Ibn Ezra, the first source on the sheet I have underlined. Why do we use this phrase to begin with? What does this figurative language mean? V'hatam, v'tam kinui, what is this expression trying to say? It refers to a ma'iseh shelo haya biyagia. It is a way of expressing the lack of effort. When God created light here, and presumably that means whenever Vayomer is used, the whole creation, what the Torah is trying to show us is the awesome power of God. This was effortless. Could it have just used... I mean, there's a million ways you could have said created. Right? It begs the question, which we don't have time to go into, why does the opening refer to bara, which is the creative verb, and now it's using vayomer. So, why start off with bara? We'll leave that as a question for now. But says the Ibn Ezra, you know, want to know why each step of the way... Vayomer, 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 why is that the verb that's used to denote creation? Because it's a way of expressing how effortless it really was for God. This was, I read it quickly, but just to review, this is what the Ramban says as well. Again, the end of the second line. Have ha'inyan lomar shelo haya ba'omel. It wasn't a hard job. It was, you know, if you told me that with a lot of hard work you created the world, I'd still be very impressed. That's a hard thing to do, even with effort. Says the Ramban, says Rav Ezra, it's even better than that. God was able to do this unbelievable thing as easy as it would be for you or me to say, let there be light. Effortless. Nothing. That's the power that we're talking about. This idea, again, not about the Vayomer, but just in general, the notion that it's an important thing for us to internalize of how powerful and therefore how effortless it was for God to create the world is something that is picked up at least by two Midrashim, which I put here on the sheet just to give you a broadening sense of this concept. This is all on our parsha. Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash tells us in the name of Brechia, the name of Yehuda, the pasuk in Tehillim that actually the Eben Ezra quoted, the Dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, that God created the world with His utterances. Yehuda v'Simon Omer, Lo ba'omel, lo b'yegia, varo hakadosh baruch v'solamo. Ella bidvar Hashem. This is getting back to actually what the Eben Ezra used, Bernie. I think you may have been right. This is your proof that it wasn't with hard effort. It wasn't with any schwitzing that Hashem created the world. Ella, but rather bidvar Hashem. All it was God's utterance. Ukvar shemayim nasu. He said it and it was done before the words were out of his mouth. It was done. Avhaha, just like that was true when it came to the shemayim. After all, the Pasukim Tehillim uses the term Shemayim Nasu. That's what the Pasukim Tehillim is saying. Says the Medrash, Av Hacha Vayihi Vahaya Or. Ella Vayihi Or. What does Vayihi Or mean? Kvar Haya, which is exactly what you were saying. By the time he said it, he's already there. You know, sometimes, you know, if we're in the office or something, you know, you tell somebody you need something done. When? That's what the Medrash is saying. By the time God, the words were out of God's mouth, Kaviyachol, it was already done. That's how effortless. Why not?
What's up about there?
Why not?
You're talking about the Borei Olam. You're talking about an entity that you're believing is the creator of everything.
I'll tell you why. I think you're starting at second base. You have a lifetime of education. We're opening up Chumash from scratch. How do we know that? How do we know? This is what the Chazal are telling us. This is what the Torah wants us to know. You already know the lesson. But the Torah is saying, this is what we're supposed to know about God. Just how powerful He was. Certainly we know that there are theologies out there, whether they were in ancient history and probably some variations of it still today, that have completely different views. I'll give you as an example. Again, it's not an identical example, but as an example of the limiting of God's power. You, again, without, this is not going to be the point you were making, but an analogous to it. You're incredulous in the sense of, God's so powerful, of course. So I'll give you an example of something in our very day. Again, not from an Orthodox source, but just to give you a sense that even to this day, this is not at all a simple or a given, including by somebody who goes by Rabbi. Rabbi Kushner, the famous author of the book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. So he suffered a horrific tragedy to one of his children, beyond horrible. Horrible tragedy, I'm serious, I don't mean to be flippant or condescending. Imam, you just have to have Rachmanis for him. But what you don't have to have Rachmanis for is that he, in dealing with his own personal tragedy, not only did he come up with a theory that helped himself cope, which is problematic, but then he decided to make it one of the single most popular English books on religion in the world, which unfortunately has misled many people to the extent that I had a firm cousin who, after she lost her father, I saw this in the backseat of her car. She was looking for something to read. I had to tell her, Dasha, I've got to get you something else. Don't read that. Why? What's his theory? He's alive and well today. That God is not powerful enough to stop evil. The whole premise of the problem of evil is God is all good, God is all powerful, and God is all knowing. If you put those three together, you have a problem with evil happening. So, obviously we all know there's many different potential solutions to that. Rabbi Kushner's solution is very simple. You take one of the three out of the equation. God is not all-powerful. So He wants to do good. And He knows that the bad thing has happened, says Rabbi Kushner. He just can't do anything about it. So, again, you and I don't want to get distracted too much. I wrote a paper against the book in college. The point is, it's not even a sophisticated philosophical agreement, let alone a correct one, but that's neither here nor there. I just give you as an example that Baruch Hashem, you're in the right place. You're taking this as a given. But that doesn't mean that everyone would have taken it as given. Or we still also have notions very often that even things that we all know or take for given, Chazal often emphasize. They want to emphasize it. But again, I just think you have to remember, you're coming. We're all coming at this with a lifetime of learning, Baruch Hashem. This is Pasuk Gimel in the Chumash. Ostensibly, we know nothing yet. You know, it's true there are other sources of knowledge. But the bottom line is, it's not surprising that at the opening of the Torah, especially the creation, many of the basics of Jewish philosophy are going to be spelled out.
Could I just say one more thing about
yes.
this? When I learned this Chumash in the first grade, I had no question. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There was no question.
Right.
Not
I think that's probably true for every one of us here.
I'm saying that. We're all... So, why is
there's disadvantages to getting older.
Why is this horrifying? And, I see this as a task that most of us can handle without any great elaboration here.
Okay. I don't know. If I ask somebody, what does that mean by Yomer? I don't know what people would say.
We can work it out. We have the premise in our insight is that if Hashem did it, that worked.
Okay.
I mean, elaboration here is...
You think so? Okay. I respect your opinion, but...
I'm talking about you right now.
You're asking on the Rishonim, right? Okay. Again, I'm trying to express where I think they were coming from, but I hear you. So, doesn't say anything. Yes, I'm going to get it. It's on the sheet. Seymour, you this, I think, 3 weeks in a row. Seymour, you are king. Okay. Another medrash, just to give you a sense of the same flavor, very beautiful medrash, the very famous phrase, the Ein Sur Kelokeinu, right? We say this on Simchas Torah. I won't sing it like I did then. Right? So, sort of it's like a rock, like a powerful thing, right? There's no power like God, no tsur. So the medrash has a play on it, Ein Sire. There's like no artist like God. So the Medrash gives a number of different things. Artists only need light. God could even paint the canvas of the world in the dark. The Medrash goes through different things. Why God, the cosmic artist, is the greatest artist and this world is the greatest creation. And then one of the things the Medrash lists is Hatsayer Hazeh Eino Yochel Hatsayer Ela B'maisa. And as a human artist can only create out of effort. Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu Ba'amira. Shenamar, our pasuk again. So this, again, in Chazal, not just in Rishonim, in Chazal, this pasuk in particular, because it's the first one, is taken as a very significant kind of a signpost or a lodestar of expressing something, which again, hopefully we all take for granted anyway, but again, is reinforcing this notion of God's awesome power, and that is expressed in the effortlessness with which he was able to create the world, and how singular and how unique that is. In other words, again, to put it this way, even if there would be another creature who could create the world, which is impossible, but even if, that would be with a lot of effort. God is even above that. God could do all of that, and even without breaking a sweat. Okay? Any questions? Okay. Let's move on now to Pasuk Dalet. I want to see Pasuk Dalet and a Rashi, and then we'll take it from there. So what does Rashi say? We'll continue on. God had said, let there be light, and there was. Pasuk Galad. V'yalukim esa'or ki tov. God saw the light that he had just created, and he liked it. Now, just to mention something you said, Rabbi Lovett, I would have read this in elementary school and not thought of it as a question. I read it now, and I'm very bothered by it. What does that mean? He created it, then he thought it was good. He wasn't sure? Right? Then I would have missed that when I was younger. So there are some advantages to growing older. Now we have questions, but as I tell my daughter, who may be the one, there's always one in every bunch, we call her Curious Eliana, she doesn't stop asking questions, and so far we haven't had any bad experiences with teachers trying to quash that. Many of us have had experiences, either directly or been in classes growing up, where people were trying to question, and teachers, rather than admitting they didn't know answers, made children feel guilty for asking questions. This is a notorious problem in day school education, and I am very much on the other extreme. So when I tell her, call her Curious Eliana, she thought I was making fun of her because of the book. To tell her, no, it's a favorite book of mine. I mean that as a compliment. So I don't know. Maybe she would ask this question. I don't know. But I certainly wouldn't have when I was her age. But now I ask it. What does that mean? Yeah, Lukim is Arkitov. And then furthermore, Pasuk continues, V'yavdil Elokim bein ha'or u'bein ha'choshech. Now choshech already exists, whatever that means, because we saw that it was in Pasuk Beis, right? There was choshech al pnei sohom. This void that existed before creation is described as having some darkness. There's many, many sources, again, not only because I just needed to skip something in order for us to move a little bit, but also because it's so esoteric. But there is a lot of sources in Rishonim or Chazal, what was that blackness, and a lot of really deep, mysterious, mystical stuff about the darkness. But that was there. Now God has created light, and now God seems to have separated it. So there's two questions we could ask. Number one is a question that Gene already alluded to. Was he not sure? Did he need to pause and take, you know, like if I, you and I create something, what do? We take a step back. We can see, you know, we just got a picture when we were in Eretz Yisrael. So we just hung it up over our dining room table. So we fussed around for a while. And each time that I didn't bang the hammer on my finger, so then we had to take a step back. You know, is it straight? How much from the, you know, so that's what it sounds like. You know, God created light. Keto. That can't be, obviously. What does that mean? What about a second question, maybe? Well, for what does good mean? And also, the v'yavdel is not clear. V'yavdel, when do you need to separate two things? If they're already combined. Now, what does that mean, though, to assume the light and dark were somehow intermingled, and now God separated them? Those are two... Again, most of us, not only when we were kids, but even when we were just a few weeks ago, had Parshas Bereishis, most of us, including myself, followed the Baal Koreh, maybe it was Ethan, I don't remember, Hulain, whoever it was, I'm sure, excellent, and we move right on. But if you read Psukim carefully, those are two questions that have to jump out at you right there. And these are questions which you then, when you investigate, are analyzed and discussed by Mefarshim. So let's look at Rashi. When at all possible, we'd like to start with Rashi. Pasuk Dalet. Af bazeh anutzrichim ledibrei Agadah. This also, he's referring to earlier commentaries he's made, we can't take this in the simple level. We need to add some additional Agadah to it. Why? He quotes a Gemara in, based on a Chazal, which is in Masechta Chagiga. It's also a Medrash in Tehillim, and we won't have time to go into it, but I put down the Gemara on your source sheet if you want to see that inside. As we've seen very commonly, Rashi does not give a literal or exact citation of the Gemara, but he adapts it. What does Rashi say? What's being hinted at here? She'eno kidai lehishtamesh bo rishayim. God saw the light that he created, and said, you know, this is so special, this is not for the rishayim of the world. V'hivdilo l'tzadikim. So he separated it and hid it away for the tzadikim. L'asad lovo, it'll be held for the future in Olam Haba. Now, what we're going to have to understand for a moment, but I'll ask you to have your wheels start turning. Why does Rashi feel the need to interpret the pasuk in light of this obviously very agadic statement? Especially then, Rashi continues and says, I will tell you, if you don't want to go to this agadah with Chazal and lights being saved for the world to come, Rashi says, I'll give you a more simple understanding. Ulefi pshuto, according to the simple meaning. Kach parshehu, this is how you should explain it. Ra'ahu kitov, he saw that it was good. Ve'ein noah lo v'lachoshech, and it wouldn't be good for it, the light, or the darkness. Shiyu mishtamshin be'irbuvya, for them to be jumbled together. V'kavo lezeh tchumo b'yom. So he said, you know what? You'll have half the time. Light, you have the day. Lezeh tchumo b'layla. And this one he gave over the night. Something going on here, right? There's definitely something going on here. What is the second part? And really, what is Rashi adding with this idea of the hidden light for Olam Haba? Exactly. So the key, I think, is Rashi begins by saying, Tzrichim, you need this medrash. It's not just I'm telling you, by the way, you should know there's a great medrash, there's a great chazal. No, no, you need it. What he seems to be saying is, there's some sharp problem in the pasuk which can be resolved by this medrash. So what is the problem and how is it resolved? So again, we're not going to have time to look at it, but I gave you two chazals, the Gemara in Chagiga and the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, which are again variations of this same idea of the light that was created being so special that it needed to be held off, it needed to be separated and reserved. So two of them, Mefarshei Rashi, give two different answers respectively to show what was Rashi bothered by. Why did he need this Medrash? Why did he need this chazal? So Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi says the following. You can't take this pasuk, this whole idea literally. Why? Ki lo yipol hevdel rak bidvarim hamet arvim, as we anticipated ourselves. You only have to separate things that are combined. Or v'choshef, and light and dark, heim ha'eder v'hakinyan. Dark is the absence of anything, ha'eder is the absence of anything, and light is the kinyan, which is he's using as a way of saying that is substance, that's existence. Lo tipo behem iruf. You can't have absence of existence and existence together. That's just tautological. It can't be. The evshar chiburam be'et mehaitim. There couldn't have ever even been any time where light and dark coexisted.
Physically.
Okay, I would just say, you asked a good question, which I don't, aside from the fact that the answer would take us afield, if I wanted to go afield, I don't have time to now. But I would just tell you one thing, I'll leave you with this. When you said, could God create something that's hot and cold? You said, of course he can, and I would say he cannot. Okay, so just to give you a sense, there's another one to talk to. The good news is, you see me, so you can presume me. I'm not running away from you just right now. Okay. So says the Mizrahi, you know the reason you can't say the simple pshat, which Rashi got to, that somehow they were combined and then God separated them? Because it doesn't make sense, says the Mizrahi, to say they were combined. Dark and light cannot be together. Again, it doesn't just mean like a sunset. When the darkness here was an absolute absence of anything. And light is a creation, so it's got to be one or the other. That's his suggestion. Huh? Right, good.
So basically that article comment would really, address what the...
Okay, good. The Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, gives a different one. This is, I think, very precise. You can keep one eye on this and one eye on the pasuk. You'll appreciate what the Maharal says. Perush, Shederecha Kosuv Lichtov V'yar Elokim Bikov. As we see, as we move on in the different days, God created something, says the pasuk, V'yar Elokim, God saw what he created, Kitov, and it was good. But when does the words Kitov come in the other days? Achar Gemar HaMaisa, after God has created whatever X, and God looks at it and says it was good. Yet here, what's the Pasuk? V'kan Ksiv, V'yar Elokim Asaor Kitov, that's only the middle of a Pasuk. Right? There's only a comma there, if anything. There's certainly not a red light, there's no period. Then it's V'yavdel, God is separating. It sounds like because it was good, something was good, then God separated. Now that doesn't make any sense. It's like a run-on. And that's why, says the Maharal, Rashi understood you can't read the Pasuk literally or simply, I'll peep shot, because it doesn't make any sense where the word Kitov is. That is creating a problem. After all, Maharal continues, Eich tola inyan ha'avdola b'masha Rashi utov. Doesn't make any sense. We need that medrash. What's the medrash? The idea that God somehow saw this light. It was so good, God said, chaval, I don't want the Rishayim ever to see this. And if the light stayed in this world, so there's tzaddikim in this world, and Rishayim in this world, everyone would benefit from the light. So God says, I'm going to hide it, and then I can save it for a place that only tzaddikim are in Olam Haba. Says the Maharal, v'hasta asti shaper. How do you read the pasuk according to the medrash? V'yar alokim esa or... Kitov, God saw the light that it was so good. Ve'eno noah, and that wouldn't be nice because it's so good. You have to superimpose that, like in brackets. for the Rishayim. Therefore, v'hivdilo, and therefore God separated it, not from darkness, or darkness figuratively, meaning he separated it so that Rishayim shouldn't be able to benefit from it. Oh, good. So coming along the Ramban. Next source, Harry. The Ramban quotes in Ibn Ezra. The Ramban quotes Rashi. And then the Ramban says, look at the second line, Ve'ein divrei shneim nechonim. None of this is right. Imkein yirik inyin hamlocha ve'etza chadasha. It looks like he changed mind. To be mom with me to change one's mind. It looks like God changed one mind and oh, I got a better idea. Right, everything we saw until now was all within Rashi's reading with that Chazal. Says Ramban, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Throw it all out. It's all wrong. If you can't read the pasuk that way, God, whatever his mistake was, that light came, it was dark, tzaddikim and only not Rishayim, whatever that was, it's all based on an assumption that God somehow made a mistake. Says Ramban, chas v'shalom. Yes. Oh, good. So we have multiple midrashim like that. One that God created thousands of worlds before he got to our world. Or we saw a few weeks ago that God thought he could create the world only with Midas HaDin, and then he realized only Midas HaRachamim. Good. Fair point. But right now we just want to read the Ramban at his word. So therefore the Ramban has a problem. So what does the Ramban say? It's very akin, if you remember, to the Ramban we did a few weeks ago, where we talked about how does the Ramban understand creation, Shemayim Aretz, that God created this elastic supra, we call it like the cosmic soup, this material, he calls it the Heli, he uses the Greek term for it, of which was the matter, which everything else in the world is potential. In other words, it's the potential for everything. Each day, God formed that matter, which was created at the beginning of time, to make Shemayim, V'aretz, to this, that, and the other. So in light of that, look what he says here. I will say to B'maisa Horatius, what happened in the creation of the world? Second paragraph. Yosas Advarim Elapoel, Yikra Mira. When the Torah wants to tell you that something was made from potential into actual, that's when the Torah uses the word or a form of the word Amira. That's the way of saying it. I got the satellite here, I got 1 minute. So, that's what Amira means. First stage, from potential to actual. But that doesn't mean it's going to be sustained. You can make something and then let it get destroyed. The Kiyumam, the maintenance, the sustaining of something is Yikra Re'iya. The lotion of seeing something, when we say God saw something, it means he decided to keep it, to maintain it. He gives some proofs for this, but then skipping down to the next underlying part, he says, Kain Omar B'yom HaRishon, B'yod HaOr, B'yar L'kim Kitov. It wasn't just that he created the world, the light, that was the first Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Dalet is, B'yar Sharotzo B'kiyum Olad. God said, you know what, I want light to exist forever. Now he'll ask the question, which was Seymour's question, why here does it say the ore was Tov, as opposed to in the other things? Well, that was your question. I'm sorry, I thought you had the Ramban's question. You have other people ask your question. Okay. The Ramban's question is, otherwise it says, Vayihi Tov. Why here does it say that the ore was Tov? It specifies the ore. So he explains, fascinatingly, again, it relates to his earlier thesis, that if it would have said, Vayihi Tov, Hi Tov, would that be referring to light? Maybe that was referring to Shemayim V'aretz, says the Ramban. That would have been misleading because at that point in time, God had not yet decided to sustain what we call Shemayim V'aretz. He hadn't made that decision yet. Or he decided he likes. Shemayim V'aretz, which is still constantly being reformed and reformed and reformed. Remember, I gave you the marshal of the endless Play-Doh, right? You could take it as a glob and then form it into something. So says the Ramban, it was only when God finished the 6 days of creation and he saw everything that he was able to create, that's when he says at the end of the 6 days, and Mitzvah will get to it, it'll be longer than 6 days for us, that, or 6 weeks, or 6 shurim, but then at the end of everything, when God says, Ki Tov, it's going back on everything, the Shemayim Aretz. But right now, again, this is very tantalizing, says the Ramban, God is willing to say that the ore is a good thing. In light of that chazal, that the ore was so special, it had to be saved for tzaddikim, we appreciate that. But at that point, God was non-committal about the future of the world. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, we'll see. I put here at the bottom of the sheet, if you want to look at it, a medrash that I found this week, which talks about a debate. What was created first? We just spoke about now the light or the world. So there's a medrash that's a debate. What was created first? The olam or light? And the last source on your sheet is a Malbim, for those who really want, like this is for the superstar students who want to do extra work, not just homework, but extra work. The Malbim, and analyzes this Medrash and debate, and he corresponds it, he brings it back to the Machlokis that we saw between Rashi and the Ramban from before my trip to Israel. How do you translate the first pasuk in the Chumash? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that's the Ramban. Or in the beginning of God's creation of heaven and earth, God created light, which was how Rashi eventually said it. So the Malbim puts together that Medrash that's here with that debate we saw there. I apologize, but I have to run. Okay, I'll be back. You won't miss me.